Good afternoon, friends. This is Chloe DiPilato coming to you from Windsor, Connecticut. Let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this beautiful day you've given us, this beautiful, sunshiny, getting close to summer day. And I pray that you would anoint my words, Lord, that there would be clarity, Lord, and that you would help me not to go beyond what you are saying, Lord, what your spirit is quickening. In Jesus' name I pray. Father, I pray for your grace, Lord, and I pray for your mercy to be upon me and upon your people this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, this is going to be the last word I'm going to share, unless the Spirit quickens me to go further. But in my estimation, this should be the last word I'm going to share on this little series on prosperity. And the first two dealt more with Old Testament scriptures, and today I'm going to go into the New Testament a little bit. This is probably going to be accompanied by a writing. I had the Lord speak something to me this morning, and it was that because I've had a little bit of frustration, especially after last week. I read so many scriptures, and I go too fast or I go too slow, and then it feels dry, and I feel like I've worn out the saints. And it's been something that's been weighing heavily on my heart. And I felt like I had the Lord speak to me this morning. It came to me so clearly that I'm to teach through writing, but exhort through preaching. And so this should be more of it with the spirit of exhortation. And then we'll pick up the slack as far as anything that should be taught about the scriptures I'm sharing. We'll pick up the slack by writing an article. So thank you, Lord Jesus. I consider Isaiah 61. Let's just go there. And the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And I think about that scripture, and we know, of course, that the Bible was written by men of God who were inspired by the Holy Ghost. They wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. Some speak when they're inspired by the Holy Ghost. Some write as they're inspired by the Holy Ghost. And this prophet Isaiah was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But I think about his words, and I can't help but wonder if he ever did speak these words in the company of hearers, if there were a group of people there. And I probably should find out by some deeper study about the times he was living in and the exact setting that this word came forth. Was Isaiah simply sitting at a little desk with a little candle and under the Spirit of the Lord? He was in the presence of the Lord and God was telling him to write, and so he's sitting there writing these beautiful words. Or did an inspiration come upon him where as he was writing, maybe he was also sharing and there was a group of people in front of him who needed this word, who heard these words, and they were in a place where these words would be music to their ears, and they would be saying, oh, that we might see these good tidings that you're talking about. I'm a brokenhearted person and I want my wounds bound up, and I'm captive and I want to be set at liberty, and I'm in prison and I want the prison doors to open. And when is the year of Jubilee coming? How far off is it? Because I'm bound with debts and just enslaved by a cruel master, and I'm just in such a place where I would really like to be set free and experience the liberty of God. And so what if those hearers were hearing this word of prophecy and wondering, when would it come to pass? Like we do so often with our prophecies. We get prophecies and we wonder, when will they come to pass? You know, I've known people who have carried a word of the Lord in their heart for years, and it's easy to get discouraged. And then when you tell them, well, you realize that Moses had to wait for 40 years for his promise, and look at how long Joseph had to wait. How many years was he in prison? And look at all David went through before he got his prophetic word, before it came to pass. And I don't know how much comfort that is when you have to tell him. I mean, personally, on a personal level, I've seen prophecy that happened, that there was like a 25-year span of time God spoke about something, and then 25 years later, I feel, not to go into detail, but I didn't see it come to pass till 25 years later. Know of one woman of God who the Lord spoke to her when she was around 18 years old that she would go to China, and it never came to pass till she was in her 80s, but it did come to pass. Well, we see that this prophecy came to pass centuries later in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus said he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now I'm reading from Luke, and this is chapter 4 and verse 18 or 17. Let's go on to 17. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, it says here in the New Testament. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Hallelujah. Preach the gospel to the poor. Well, what do the poor want to hear? The poor want to hear that they're not going to be poor anymore. And this gospel is a gospel of provision. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So there it was, the fulfillment of that scripture. It was the person of Jesus Christ who was the fulfillment of that beautiful passage of scripture in Isaiah. That word just marched throughout time. I'm sure it worked and it prospered wherever it went. But it came through the corridors of time and landed on that day in that synagogue in Nazareth as Jesus spoke it forth. And he said, "This day is this saying fulfilled in your hearing." And part of that word was that the gospel would be preached to the poor. And, you know, why didn't it just say the gospel will be preached to everyone? No, it said the gospel will be preached to the poor. And what is that gospel to the poor? Well, we know the gospel to the poor is the same one that's to the rich and every other man, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. We need his saving grace. We need his blood to wash away our sins. But why did he signal out, especially those who were poor? And I believe it is because the comfort of faith in God to supply our needs is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's found in the gospel. Now, I don't need to go into the seed faith teaching, but I believe those teachings, and I believe that those who teach them, only God knows the heart. I had the Lord speak to me that I'm not to impugn his servants, and I'm not to character assassinate. And that's what impugn means. It's when you cast a doubt about somebody's integrity or their character. And we're seeing a lot of that in the news right now, where people are casting doubt on someone's character, like what was recently done to Jeff Sessions, that there was a character assassination, an attempt to assassinate his character and his integrity. And he got in front of Congress, and he answered a whole bunch of questions, and he put it to rest pretty much. But, It's real easy to judge, and especially anybody who's preaching a message of prosperity or seed faith or that, to judge them and judge their motives. And that's in God's hands. He'll definitely take care of it. But we have to learn how to take the truth of God's word and hold it sacred without looking where we can attack someone, use it to attack someone. The Bible's very clear. We can't serve God and mammon. And that's between these men and God, if they're serving God or if they're serving mammon. But I feel really uneasy for anyone who is thinking that they have a revelation into the heart and the character of someone if the Lord didn't really give them a revelation. So we got to be careful of doing that. Now, that's what the Lord spoke to me, not to impugn his servants, because we don't know. There's a day that will come where God will judge the quick and the dead. Some things we will know here. Some men's sins are before going to the judgment. Others will be realized afterward. We won't know until eternity. Was that a true man of God? Was that a false? But until then, we've got to really watch, put a watch at the door of our lips, because it's a dangerous thing to come against the servants of the Lord. And especially in the present context of what's going on in our world, we do not want operating in the church the spirit that is operating in the world. And in a lot of ways, the church is looking like the world and operating like the world in so many ways. But what comes to me right now, and I believe that I have a little bit of a prophetic anointing as I'm sharing this. Some years ago, somebody was prophesying about civil war in the church, and you could just pick your favorite doctrine, your pet doctrine, and find someone who had an opposing doctrine, and that would be, and if it grew to a certain level, maybe it could cause a civil war with unrest between different people in different camps. I could think of so many, but I don't feel like I'm supposed to go into all the differences. But I do feel like we need to learn to see not only the remnant, we need to learn to see the big picture. Now, there are people who say that it's a narrow way and we're going in through a narrow gate, and there's going to only be a few that find it. So only a handful will be saved. It's only a remnant that will be saved. I had a pastor say something to me one time that I took as insight from God, and it was this: there may be few that find it, there may be only few that can get through the gate, but once you find it, once you find that gate, once you find that narrow way, you can lead a multitude in. Now, Lord, I just leave that with your people. Is that true? Once you find the narrow way and the narrow gate, can we lead a multitude in? I tend to believe we can leave a multitude in, and it's because the Bible says the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. There will be someone who only have a knowledge of it. They've only heard about it. They haven't partaken of it. Oh, that noise you hear in the background is the trees brushing up against my window. It's quite windy day out there. But anyway, that doesn't mean everybody is going to walk in that glory, appreciate that glory, but they will hear about it and they will know about it. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord doesn't say the glory of the Lord will fill the whole earth. It says the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will fill the whole earth. And so God is going to be working on this earth on all different levels. Some will be on the outer court, or you have to stretch your arm way out to reach them, but they've had a touch of God in their life. And then as you draw closer into the center of the circle, there'll be those who are right around the throne of God worshiping and praising, Maybe that's the elect, that's the remnant. But you can't discount, because you believe a remnant message, don't discount everything else that God is doing in the earth, because he's doing a lot. And don't be, I've talked about this before, don't be offended by seeker-friendly churches. Don't be offended by those who just came for the loaves and the fishes, or who just came for the miracles, or just came because they wanted the food. They didn't care anything about going on further with God. They didn't care anything about walking closely with the Lord. Well, praise God if you're one of those that do care. And praise God if you're like Peter, who said, "To whom shall we go, Lord?" When the Lord said, "Except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part in me." He didn't say you have no part in the kingdom. I think he said you have no part in me. And I'm going to look this up right now to make sure that I'm hearing right in my spirit. I mean, it's not like I haven't read it before, but sometimes you just want to double check. Okay. It's way toward the, this is a long chapter, chapter 6. I'm going to scan here. Okay, you have no part. Now see, this is because I'm speaking by the Spirit more than by teaching. If I had known I was going to share this, I would have looked it up. I would have looked it up beforehand. Now it's in John chapter 6. Okay. Well, one portion he said, you have no life in you. Okay. I'm at my computer. Bear with me because I need to get this scripture. There's one that says you have no life in you, but I'm pretty sure there's a place where it says Jesus said you have no part in me. And putting in my password that I've said before is just so great that nobody would ever guess it except it came by revelation. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Okay, part. That's going to get a whole lot of scriptures. Search. Come on, help us search. Now you can go right down here, scrolling down to John. 3 times it appears in the book of John. Okay. Peter said unto him, this is in John 13. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Okay, that's where it is. Now let me go to John 6. And he said, except we eat of his flesh and drink his blood, we have no life in us. That's a powerful scripture too. John 6. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Am I getting into teaching mode when I'm supposed to be in exhorting mode? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, bear with me, saints of God. Okay. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Okay. Okay, well, in verse 66, it was that message that caused people not to want to be so close to God. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And those that walked away, are we to assume that they lost their salvation, that they were completely counted out? Which would cause us to conclude that truly there's only a remnant on this earth that will be saved? I don't believe so, because Joel prophesied that he would pour that and Peter quoted it on the day of Pentecost, that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. And so there is going to be a measure of God coming out across this earth upon every single person, whether it be so that it goes into them and changes their lives and gives them a new life, or whether they just feel the touch. It's going to happen. So if you're part of a remnant, don't be continually discounting the things that God is doing in lesser ways than the deep work that he's doing in your own life, because God is doing a whole lot. And we're talking about prosperity. This is supposed to be about prosperity and how does this all connect? Well, because as I've read the word this morning, especially, I would have given something yesterday, but the scriptures were there, but they weren't weaving together. And it always seems like at the last moment, on the morning before I actually sit down to do the file, the Lord will drop something into my spirit. And I felt to look up the word riches. Now, I had the intent that I was going to encourage people about believing God for natural things. That was my intention, that take a hold of the messages of seed time and harvest. Take a hold of the message of walking in his commandments, obeying the Lord, the things I've said on in some past tapes. Take a hold of understanding that when the Spirit of God comes, that is prosperity in itself. The word is used over and again, to the Spirit of the Lord coming is the same word that's used for the word prosper or prospering or prosperity, and take a hold of that. And but I really had it in my heart that I wanted to bring a word today that would encourage every person who is struggling financially to believe God for their needs, to believe God not only for their needs, but to give some things that would be a blessing too. One of the scriptures that I considered was how that the last time that Jesus saw his disciples before he ascended into heaven was by the seaside, and Peter went fishing and the disciples followed him. And I've always heard that preached like Peter was just very disappointed. Jesus had died and he was just going to go back to his old life, and it was just very morose. I've always heard that preached with a spirit of like disappointment, sadness, just really down in the dumps type of a thing. And I'm like, I'm tired of this. I've had enough. I'm going to go do something else. I'm just going to go back to my fishing. So he gets out there in the boat, and they're rowing and they're toiling all night, and they don't catch anything. And then the Lord is on the shore, and he tells them to cast the net on the other side. they cast it and they catch a lot of fish. And then Jesus cooks them fish and bread and wine. And he tells them to bring the catch, which was 153 fish, up onto the shore so he could, I guess maybe he wanted more fish. But anyway, he blessed them. And I personally believe that when Jesus did that, it was a sign that was saying to them that he would bless the work of their hands, that God would bless the work of their hands. The work of their hands was to be fishermen, and God blessed it. And that was one of the messages he left. He knows that in this world we have needs. He knows that we have to provide for families. And this was one of the last things he left with them, was that he would bless the work of their hands. But it didn't just happen by them just going out and fishing. And I think that Peter maybe had a resolve. Maybe he had a revelation that, the Lord, you know, I've had these three glorious years with the Lord, following him every day. I followed him faithfully. I've forsaken all to follow him. I maybe messed up a little bit there with the denial, but he's restored me. And he's visited us two times. I don't think that Peter was discouraged. I really don't think he was discouraged. But when the Lord showed up that third time, I think that Peter had a resolve in his heart that what else am I to do but what I know how to do? You know, it reminds me of the scripture, occupy till I come, keep busy till I come. And I think that Peter had a resolve that he was going to do what he needed to do. And that the Lord coming on that scene and helping him and blessing him and telling him to cast the nets on the other side was just his way of saying, yes, I'm with you. You have to do what you've got to do, and I will bless it. And that's what the Lord did. And then he gave him the word about feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. That's another message. But for that, in that moment, in that time, the Lord was confirming to Peter that he had done the right thing by going to his craft. And so when you have to go, you don't want to leave the plow. The Bible says he that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. But God knows what you need to do. The Lord is aware of what you need to do to meet the needs. And the word is not always that you drop $10 in the offering plate and you're going to see 100, or you drop 100 and you're going to see 1,000. That is not always the thus saith the Lord for the moment. Sometimes the word of the Lord, if you want to be blessed and prospered, is to get busy and work with your hands. Paul did it. He made tents. When he wasn't preaching, he was making tents. And in that context, God was able to bless him and use him. So thank you, Lord, for strength and for the work of our hands. And even those who are called to full-time ministry will go through that phase where they have to be willing to work with their hands. And the Lord will bless it. The Lord will multiply it. I mean, I knew of a preacher who, well, I'm not going to even say that because the word of the Lord was not to impugn anybody, and this is a precious man of God, but I'll just try to make this very general statement. I've seen people who are in love with the work of the ministry who struggle so much to make ends meet. Some refuse to work because they believe that they're called of God, and so they depend upon God's people 100% when the Lord might want to bless the work of their hands. And I've seen others who have worked two and three and four jobs trying to make ends meet while trying to keep up with their ministry too. But the Lord showed a principle with Peter. He was showing a principle that trust him to bless the work of your hands. What did Peter have to have? He had to have a hearing ear. He had to hear the Lord. He had to have his ear tuned to hear what God was saying from the shore while he was out there in the waters. You've got to have your ear tuned to hear what the Lord's saying if you want his blessing. This prosperity works even as our soul prospers, that God wants us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. The soul prospers with a word from God. The soul prospers with a visitation of the Holy Spirit. Now, I am going to share, I'm going to leave this here. And I don't even know, because I don't have the timer on. I don't know if I've spoken for 15 minutes or half an hour or 45 minutes or 10 minutes. I have no idea. But the next part I'm going to share through a writing, because I feel like that'll be a little bit more teaching. I want to go into some scriptures that are blessing, and I could probably exhort from them. Jesus, what were your people supposed to get from this today? Let me just have a little review in the spirit. Lord, give me a little spiritual review. Jesus fulfilled the word that Isaiah spoke about the Spirit of the Lord being upon him. He said that it was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. The poor having the gospel preached to them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Understanding that prosperity can come through the work of our hands. Thank you, Jesus. Willing to work with our hands, but have an ear to hear what you're saying, and not to discount or to malign or impugn your servants because we think they're in it for the money, or we don't like the message they're teaching, or we don't think it's spiritual enough. We think it's too carnal, Lord. Not to be quick to judge, Lord. Please help us, Jesus. Because there are those in the body of Christ who preach about things and material blessings, because, Lord, you said this gospel would be preached to the poor, and you want people to take a hold of the word of the Lord. You don't want preachers taking advantage or fleecing the sheep or going or being in it for the gold and the glory. But Lord, you do want your people to understand the scriptures that have to do with giving and receiving and how we would be blessed through giving, Lord. You want us to understand those things, Lord, for the furtherance of your kingdom. But Lord, just because you care about people where they are at, having to pay bills, having to provide for their families, having to have wheels under them to get to work, all the things that pertain to the cares of this life, God, you care about it. You care, Lord Jesus. And Father, woe be unto anyone, Lord, who would stop the word of the Lord that would cause someone to rise in faith and believe you for a blessing. But God, we consider the whole context of your word, Lord God, how we have to obey you, how we have to have a relationship with you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, this day I ask you to help us. And now, Lord, as I separate myself to do a little bit of writing, Lord, on the riches, Father, the riches that are mentioned in the New Testament, the blessing and the prosperity to the eternal soul, Lord God, that you've promised, Lord, I pray that there would be an anointing and a grace. And Father, I pray that, Father, anybody listening to this word today who does not know you, Jesus, who has not entered into the riches of your grace, that there would be a tug on the heart, that they would be pulled in, Lord God, to the powerful blessing that comes just through knowing you, just through that feeling of sins being forgiven, just through that feeling of having the weight of the world and the weight of the sin rolled off of our shoulders, Lord. It's a glorious thing. And I pray right now, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would draw such ones. And if you are one of those who are hearing this word and you want to know Jesus, I just pray that you would take this word into your heart and pray along with me. And if you can find time, be considering it and mulling it over, and even maybe pray it again in your secret place. It'll take the very first time you pray it. But if you want to just let it roll around in you and let it really have a deeper work. In Jesus' name, Father, I come to you, Lord, realizing I'm a sinner. Having heard words of truth, I know that my heart doesn't quite line up with the words of truth. And I pray, Lord, that you will forgive me of my sins and that you would give me a brand new life in Jesus Christ. Help me to do all that your word says, Lord. Help me to repent fully of my sins, Lord. Anything, I repent right now generally, but if there's anything in my life that grieves you in particular, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to turn away from it, Lord. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your blood, which washes me white as snow. And I thank you that because of the washing of your blood, I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I am drawn into the fellowship of the saints, Lord. I pray that you would lead me in a plain path where I would find a body of Christ, Lord, a church, Lord, where I could go and I could learn your word. I could learn about this and learn and drink from the sincere milk of the word, Lord, that I might grow in you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.